Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the tree right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television and Tyler Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things, if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Some strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on his cypress knee, and he was talking to Moccasin Joe. Planning a party they're gonna have out in the St. John's Swamps.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Viscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Viscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Hey, good buddy. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Tom. How are you?
Well, I got to tell you, I'm feeling like $1 million, number one. Number two, hello out there to all of our famed friends, our new friends, our old friends, our friends-to-be, and people around the globe. It's been a while since you guys have heard from me. TJ is out doing some kind of research somewhere, and along with the other boys, and I thought I'd come in and jack your jaws for 15, 20 minutes and tell you what's been going on and where we're going and how things are going to be. So, first of all, how are you, Bill? We haven't talked in a long time.
I am doing great. In fact,
you okay?
We got two guys that are still coming on here in a little bit, but right now we got Rocky. We've got Audrey from Kentucky, and we have Leo, North Carolina, and
Those are three big names. I love them. You know, Rocky's my brother. Leo is my brother. I can't lose with the stuff they use. I want to talk on a couple of subjects and topics here, folks.
Yeah. just go right ahead. You got it for now until you're ready.
Okay, great. Listen, there's a lot of stuff going on right now. I don't know what part of the country you're in, but there is heat waves. Unbelievable. Like I've never seen before in my life. There's humidity that's been building up like I've never seen before in my life. And let me cite something. Now, those of you who know me know I love the horse racing situation. There's a racetrack today out in Pennsylvania that they had to close, all right? They closed the one in New York, in Saratoga, upstate New York, between tornadoes, between heat waves. It was unhealthy for the jockeys and horses to run because it was so hot. And I got to tell you something, folks. In the last 55 years that I can remember going to a track, playing the horses anyway, with my mother, God bless her soul, they never close. They run through sleet, snow, rain, and all of a sudden, oh, my God, they're closing the tracks because of this terrible weather. I'm thinking, my God, how many people are dying of heat stroke all around the country, A? And by the way, is it affecting our creatures? Well, I made a few calls because that's what I do. When you're in the Bigfoot business and you get as many calls as we get, oh, my God, folks, you have no idea what's been going on. And believe it or not, Rocky, we've been getting a ton of calls in Arkansas. We've been getting a ton of calls from Mississippi. And we've been getting a ton of calls from Mississippi-Kentucky border. There is activity going like crazy. Now, I'm having a problem with all that because these creatures are not used to these extreme heats and humidities. Just think about when we're out there, what happens. And between all the bugs and the stagnant water and the mosquitoes and all that other havoc running, you know, rampant, what do you think's happening with these creatures? You know, sure, they endure a hell of a lot better than us because they're wild beings. But I'll tell you right now, I've been getting some awfully great connections thanks to these hotlines that we got, Marco Beal. I'm going to tell you, and you're right, you know, on that, on the radio and also on our website, it says 24-hour hotline. And you know what? A lot of times you get me because everybody else is busy doing something else or taking a cat nap or whatever. But we do not let one phone call get by, folks. That's how important this is to me and our business. I don't know if any of you people have been monitoring our stock, BGFT, on the pink sheets. But believe it or not, 2 days in a row, we ranked number one, folks. Number one. Now, this is public information. That's the reason why I'm allowed to talk about it. But don't believe me. Go there and see what had happened. On the 23rd, which was 2 days ago, we ranked number one on the Investors Hub on the breakout boards with a volume of 322 million shares sold, folks. Just blowing everybody away. The next day at 8:15 or 8:14 in the morning on the 24th yesterday, ranked number one, okay? And I mean, the closest people that got near us was almost 2.5 times down. So in other words, we got a lot of eyes on our stock, folks. We got a lot of people trading our stock. Let me tell you, it hasn't been easy. We've busted hump. We've busted ass. A lot of dues I got to do is by Marco and Jay keeping up the radio station while I've been doing all the corporate work. And God bless that Sarah, man. She's just been so enthralled and had her head wrapped around everything that we do here. And, you know, she's not just the brains behind the outfit when it comes to the juggling the numbers and making things happen. She's gone into everything that we do. She's gone into the filmmaking. She's gone into scheduling with the expedition. She's gone into answering phone calls. There's not a thing this woman don't do. I'll tell you what. She's a Davy Crockett in the woman. Well, I guess they call her Annie Oakley. And I'll tell you what. She's not afraid to do what needs to be done. But I got to tell you, folks, it's been a long, arduous journey. But you know what? We're still out there doing what we know how to do best. Remember that. We're still out there doing what we know how to do best. Oh, by the way, we just got a street date. It's in August for the new Brutal Bigfoot movie that we did. And we did that all over the place. Primarily, a bunch of it was done out there in Rocky's neck of the woods. So let's go out there to Arkansas. Rocky, you there?
Yes, sir, I am.
Well, how are you, young man?
Well, if I was any better, I'd have to be a whole bunch more people.
Ladies and gentlemen, those of you who are tuning for the first time and not knowing who Rocky is, he's like my brother that I've really never had, even though I've got one. But this guy, I'll tell you what, he's just a salt of the earth. Anytime you need him, he's there, good, bad, or indifferent. And his good buddy, the Swede. How's the Swede doing?
I saw him today, as a matter of fact, and he's doing quite well.
You know, Rocky, I haven't talked to you in a while, as you know. Well, my other team members have, and some have stopped by to see you and eat some of that nice pizza that you have. Those people that don't know, Rocky has Tim's Pizza there in Fayetteville. And so when you're ever out there, go out there and try some of those tasty niblets that he makes for people, because they just love him to death. And he'll sit there and tell you a yarn, a story or two, and tell you all about Bigfoot, too. I've been getting these calls, Rocky, and it's just blowing my mind, okay? It's all around mid-Arkansas, mid-Missouri. And the last one I just got, the guy played to me the vocalizations that he recorded. He recorded also the tree knocking that he did, and the reply he got back also replied that and he's got the rocks that these creatures threw at his house. And
well,
this has been, I'm waiting now for the permission from the landowner. It's on 10 acres where his place is. Now, he has the house, but he leases out part of the land. So he's going to get back to me, and if he does, with the permission that we can send somebody out there, I'd like for you to get out there, Rocky, and see what you can find. Is that okay with you?
That's fine with me.
Good, good. All right. So let me ask you, how's the weather out in your area?
Today wasn't bad. It's been pretty warm, but today it was a little bit better.
So tell the people around the world what a little bit better is, Rocky.
Well, I think it stayed under 90 all day.
Okay, so what's the heat index with the humidity?
I don't know. I haven't. I've been so busy the last little bit that I don't even pay any attention to it anymore.
Well, let me. You're acclimated to it, but ladies and gentlemen, let me try to let you focus in on what that is. Says it stays below 90, okay? So let's say it's 87. Add another 10 degrees, but now tropical because of the humidity. Now, what does that mean for those of you people who don't know what tropical is or what humidity is? go and take, you're in an air conditioning apartment house, whatever, wherever, hotel. You get yourself a shower or a bath, get all spiffied up. You go from the stair steps out the door to go to your car if you're in a hotel. All of a sudden, you get behind that wheel and you turn on the ignition and put on the air, and you find out that, oh my God, I'm sweating profusely, and my brand new shirt that I just put on is soaking wet because of the humidity. I've got to share this story with you folks. When I first experienced humidity, I was in, wasn't in Arkansas, it was the state next to it, and I think it could have been, is Mississippi next to you?
Missouri, Tennessee.
Tennessee, Nashville, Tennessee. Thank you for jogging my memory. I'm in a hotel room, and it was in August. I'll never forget this till the day I die. I'm there with Ivan Marks, Ernie Montiel, and two other film guys. And these were outside corridors. It wasn't inside in a hotel. So, in other words, we had just open your door and you come down those steps, get in your rig, and you go on. But we came back that night, and we go into the room, folks. All of a sudden, you see all this water around the window. I turn down the bed, the bedding on your bed, right? You know, the main cover, whatever the hell you call that thing, and then the blankets and sheets. And all of a sudden, the pillowcase is soaking wet.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, oh, Lord. That's what it's like, okay?
Is
now,
the volcano doing it in Hawaii, causing it to get hot around the world, maybe, that volcano?
You know, hon, I don't know. I'm trying.
It is hotter
it's
here.
It's boggling my head. And I'm not one for heat, believe me. And those who know
I
me.
I hate air like that.
But here's another thing. What happens when you get around the swampy areas, when you get around these ponds, okay, and these crazy weathers? Well, now you have infested areas of mosquitoes, of chiggers, of ticks, okay, of fleas. And I don't think, folks, the world knows that I think it's around 32% of people dying around the world today are dying from some kind of mosquito bite that has been infected with some kind of disease off of some bad meat they've eaten and stuff. And then when they bite into you, they're transferring it into you. And I'll tell you, I'm one, believe me when I tell you this, I'm one that can't stand chiggers. I can't stand ticks. I'd rather be bitten by a goddamn snake than by those damn chiggers. And those of you who know me, I was in the hospital a couple of times. One time with 356 chigger bites, and my God, I'll tell you, I had them all over my body, including my nutsack.
Oh,
I'll tell you,
Lord.
It's not the nicest thing in the world to have.
Ooh,
I was in that hospital
like
for 3 days.
His
so,
legs look like ears of corn.
You bet. Yeah, and it's crazy. How are the chiggers and the ticks and the mosquitoes right now, Rocky?
Well, you know, over by my place, we got a pond out there, but it's so loaded with frogs that we don't have we haven't had a big mosquito problem over there.
Well, is this a new pond?
No.
Okay.
No, it's a really old pond.
Okay, so, and you got a lot of toads and...
We got bullfrogs.
Bullfrogs? Well, you know what's going to happen there. And then, and you know what? Just keep getting more of them and just don't eat the damn frogs. They're eating all the skeeters up.
That's right.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Have you been out in the woods at all and seen what the chiggers were like?
I have been out a little bit, and so far I haven't had one chigger bite this year.
Wow. And I'll tell you the reason why I say wow. When we were out in March and April down there in Florida and Georgia, Alabama. And you all know Youngblood, Rob, Price, and TJ, they got bit up pretty damn good. All by Chiggers, believe it or not.
And I eat a lot of bananas. It keeps them off me.
Now, you know, I just heard just the opposite, that bananas attract them.
They keep them off me. If I eat a banana, if I don't eat a banana, they'll eat me alive.
So tell me what's been going on in Kentucky there, sweetheart.
Here lately, I've been seeing them. Like, I've been in a trailer park, and I got wood, thin wood all the way around the back of me. And the other night I was over my friends, and I was coming back home, and all the lights were out. They locked the door, and I could see them jumping from one side to the other of the tree. They was real black, you know, because I could see the shadow, the black shadow. And For some reason, they scared me that night. They just scared me. I was banging the hell out of my door. Let me in.
Wow.
Yeah, they're around here. They ain't going away. They're just making themselves at home here.
Well, how's the weather down there by you?
Huh?
How's the weather by you?
The weather on the 4th of July was 117 in heat index.
Oh, my God.
I'm not kidding you. It was 117 heat index. And my daughter went to Cincinnati where they got that park down there, and she almost died. And then a kid died up there at, Otter Creek, 18 years old. He was in the water. He wasn't dehumidified or what do you call it, dehydrated. People don't understand. When it's 117 degrees, your body can only take 110, 120. You're dead. It's going to kill you. His body shuts down. It'll kill you. And the kid died at 18 years old down here.
Wow, Audrey, did you know the people?
No, but I knew other people that knew the people, you know. And they said he was in the water, he was cool, he was drinking plenty of water, plenty of liquid, and he just dropped. Well, you know, if I take you and put you in the oven at 115, you're not dehydrated when I put you in there, but when you come out, you're dead and cooked.
Oh, you bet your sweet ass you are. Yeah,
yeah.
I'll tell you what. So are you still experiencing the creatures in your immediate area?
Oh, yeah. They're not as bad because that guy that got in contact with me told me to stop going bathroom outside. Because, you know, I pull up and I got, you know, you got to go to the bathroom. Nobody can see you. If you got to go, you got to go, you know. So I got woods. I can just go. He said, stop. Just stop. Put that all the way. He says, I don't care. Pee in your pants. Just stop, Audrey. Just you got to stop. He said, for some damn reason, he said, you're drawing them with your, you know, urine, not to sound nasty. And he took some of my urine, and I ain't heard from him. I heard from him Sunday. He said, I'll be in touch. Don't worry. And that's all he left me. But he'll be back in touch with me. He has told me so much stuff about these Sasquatch, and you know I believe him. I honestly, truly believe him.
I'm glad that you got an alliance down there and things happening. So what do you think's happening with all this heat? What's causing it?
I think it's a volcano. It's so hot inside the earth.
In Hawaii?
Yeah, woo! They've got a new island down there that popped up.
Yeah.
It's so hot.
I know something split or something, made an extra island. It's staggering my mind also. So now think about this. Did you hear the story, ladies and gentlemen, that Audrey just told about that 18-year-old boy? What happens now for some of these creatures that have never experienced this extreme heat? Think about it. They got that hair, and don't get me wrong, nature, you know, takes care of its own, and they shed their hair. But irregardless, they're out amongst the elements, and yes, some of the hair is coming off of them, but to be baked in that sun, what do you think goes through their head, Audrey?
I think they get in the creeks and hide in the mud and cover themselves in mud where it's cool. Just lay up in the mud all day and where it's cool, you know, down here by Salt River. Just that's what they used to do. They get in the river and they play in the river and they get up in the mud down there because there's a lot of it, trust me. Cover yourself in mud where it's cool and it's going to keep you cool. It's an automatic cool your body down. The water's cool, the mud's cooler, you're going to be fine.
And don't ever forget, Audrey, about the caves and the underground things that we don't know about. I honestly and truly believe that old wells, water wells, and old mine shafts, and as you get around these old rivers, especially the sulfur, the red, and the salt, it cut these grooves in okay, where they've got these little plateaus and hangovers. So underneath, it's created a hangover, so it would be like a little cave. And you're exactly right, okay? Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, it's another weird year. And I'm going to tell you this, okay? Our movie is street delivery date is next month, coming up on it real soon. But I'm going to tell you this, in October, I'm going to be on the road for at least, right past my birthday, October 10th or October 15th. We're going to go from October 15th to December 15th. We're going to go out there for two solid months, and I'm not going to stop. I'm not coming back off the road. But for those 2 months, we are going to be constantly on expedition, zigzagging America, and hopefully getting in front of these creatures, okay? Because their migrational route now has been all screwed up. The ones that were in the south that were going north, they're staying in the south. There's something wrong here, okay? But we're going to find out about it, okay? We've really come up with a migrational path and route that we think that we're going to be pretty close spot on this year. And we're going to film everything, just every damn thing that we're, each and every day. We're going to film us. We're going to film the people we talk to. We're going to film the conditions. And you'll all see it. You'll all see it. It'll probably be my last out on the brush, but, you know, I got one left in me. You know, Rocky and Rob and TJ and all the rest of the guys, they'll still be out there. But I'm going out for the one that I'm knowing at, and I'm going to go out to these areas, new areas that I haven't been, okay, that I have not been. And, oh, by the way, I might tell you about this. Texas, where we've had some immense success in a lot of our movies. You've seen a lot of it out there outside of Paris. Now we're getting a lot of calls down there in the, that was the northeast part. Now we're getting them in the southern part, okay? We're getting it by the thickets. And here it goes again, that good old Red River, where it is up there in the north, where it goes into Oklahoma. Pretty phenomenal. So, Leo, are you out there?
Yes, sir. I'm here. How you doing, sir?
How are you, young man?
Hey, man, fighting the heat just like everybody else.
You know, first of all, it's an honor and a pleasure to talk to you. How's that lovely bride of yours?
Hey, she's doing well. She's doing
real
well.
Please tell her
well.
I said hello. So tell me
something.
You're in the thick of that heat. I know you are. What's
mm-hmm.
going on? What do you think it is, Leo?
Well, boss man, I tell you, it's hard to say. I went out in my old stomping grounds a couple of weeks ago, and I don't know if TJ showed you the pictures that I got, the footprints I got, and the bait that I got was disturbed. Tell you, man, I went out and the heat just overtook me. And I tell you, my mentor, when you're talking about chiggers, and Rocky, I tell you, man, I pulled at least 6 ticks off me when I left out of the forest. I had a couple of chigger bites around my ankle. That was very unusual because I had high ankle boots on, but, you know, it was kind of bad. But I tell you, I don't know what's going on with the heat, but me personally, I don't think it's really affecting the creatures because I think these creatures are built for any kind of weather. And I think that no matter what, I think the nocturnal mode that these creatures have is really kicked in. I think you don't see them that much in the daytime. Especially
boy, are you right. Are you hit it. You broke the code once again. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Leo. You know, he's a state trooper back there. Great, great guy. And I'll tell you, he's been out there on expedition with us, but he broke the code. I was waiting for somebody to come up with the using logic, folks. These are nocturnal creatures. They feed and travel and migrate at night. Why? Because they're a lot more intelligent than us, not just because of the cover of darkness, but it's the cooling of the day, isn't it, Leo?
That's exactly right.
Okay.
Exactly right.
So proud of you, man. I'm so proud of you that you remembered all that. And I was waiting for somebody to pop up, and it took you. Well, listen. What's that place? The Yawari Forest back there by you?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, yeah. So has there been action going on? Has anybody been talking? What's going on?
Well, I went out and put some bait out. Like I said, you know, TJ's got the pictures. If he hadn't showed it to you, and I'll try to send it to you as well.
Please
and,
do, because, you know, you have no idea how wrapped up in all the corporate stuff that I've been into. You know, I'm not as good as Sarah. She's got 9 different lives like a cat, and she can master 125 things at a time. And I'm just the old-fashioned guy that maybe if I can multitask and do 1, 2, or 3 things, I think I've done a lot. This chick, she's like a giant squid with all those tentacles, and she's always there to run to the first person who needs help and doing all the other thing with all the other tentacles that she has. But that's phenomenal, man. I'm just so proud of you. And I know I've gone over a minute of my first 30 minutes. I was only going to stay 15 or 20. But you see what happens, Leo? See what happens there, young lady? You see what happens, Marco and good old Rocky? When you get into old times, start talking about the reality of what's going on here today. And this is our family, folks. This is what it's all about. And this is what we did when Marco Bill and myself started this thing. How many years ago, Marco?
Christ, almost 15. It was September 2006.
2006, oh. Folks. Wow. We are the longest running Bigfoot show ever. Ever. Don't let anybody mistake any of that. Ever. And I'm so proud that we're still here doing it, still here talking about it, and building our an empire that has been beyond compare. Nobody ever thought that we could take our company public, in which we did. They all thought it was a joke. But you know what? We made a lot of people proud, and we're going to keep on keeping on. Marco, thank you for allowing me to be on. Leo, God bless you. Audrey, thank you, honey. Rocky, as always, I love you, man. Till next time, America, I'm T-O-ing it back to Marco. Try to get
thank
back
you.
To see you next week. Bye-bye.
Thanks,
bye, Tom.
Well, everybody, this is Marco Bill, and we're, let's see, Leo, you were on there. See, we got...
Yes, sir.
We got Ken from Michigan. And let's see, find out what he's been doing. Ken, are you there? Hello, Ken.
Yeah, actually I am. How you doing, Marco?
Super, super. Tell us what's going on up there in your neck of the woods, buddy.
Well, we've just been doing some different things than we did before. We've had the ferns have grown up like much taller now, so they're instead of being waist high, they're about boob high. They're taller now, so we're able to, you know, go underneath of them and hide out and see a lot more different animals in the woods moving around, and things are really started to pick up out here. We've seen a lot of things moving and some really big objects moving real fast. A few things were jumping really high, kind of a, you know, like a little different than last year. I don't know what you guys are seeing where you're at, but it just seems a lot different for us where we're at, and I'm just really not sure, you know, if this is a new species of animal or, you know, of sorts.
We know we got different species. We know that.
Yeah.
we don't know how many, but I mean, there's at least three that we're aware of that we've, you know, been, you know, investigated. So it's kind of, yeah, it's it can be different. Let me ask you a question. This is for everybody. What has anybody there seen these creatures in the trees? Now, I've had a lot of reports from creatures being in the trees. We've had a couple of videos where they were shaking the trees and stuff. Has anybody seen the creatures in the trees or heard of the creatures being in the trees?
I'll tell you this, Marco. Like to the listeners out there, I don't know if everybody's seen the pictures. And first of all, I'd like to say hello to my lovely wife, April, and also to my niece, Yvonne, who was with me when I went to Uwari Forest. And if you look at the pictures that I sent you guys, to me, the outline looks like a juvenile. And I'll tell you what happened to me. We went to like I told the listeners at the last show, a place called Czar Cemetery, and it's spelled Z-O-A-R Cemetery, which is across from the West Morris Mountain area. And while we were there, I've seen, you know, where trash had been turned over, and the first thing you think that you're going to say is probably a bear or a raccoon. But I also seen, like, some banana peels and things of that nature, which a bear or raccoon could have went through the trash and got it, but it was away from the area where it was where the trash can was put. But to make a long story short, while I was out there, that's when I had a smell, and it wasn't the smell that typically people say they smell of a Sasquatch being around. This was like wet clothes, old wet clothes in a plastic bag or mold. But anyway, we snapped pictures while we were out there, and we came back, and I panned around and blew up the pictures. And in one of the pictures, it looks just like a juvenile sitting in the trees. Now, whether it was a juvenile sitting there, I don't know. But I know what it looks like to me. So, you know, I think it's more so the juveniles are coming out during the daytime. And I think the adults are, being that they're nocturnal. And, you know, a lot of the old farts, which I consider myself a middle-aged old fart, you know, can't stand the heat. Can we, Rocky? So, you know, we try to stay out when it's cool. And when will they come out? They come out at night.
Well, the reason I asked this question is, a couple of years ago, I think, we've had several people come on the show, and you know, one was from Colorado. He's a guide for hunting guide. You know what I'm talking about? Hunting guides, and mm-hmm. Was having all kinds of issues with these creatures outside his house, and they were in the trees, and they'd be in the trees at night, and then, I mean, they were making all kinds of racket, kind of like chimp or you know, monkey kind of noises, but they're not monkeys. They got regular feet, and some were juveniles, and some were large. And mm-hmm. Then we had another incident in Virginia where we used to have a guy that came on here all the time, Anthony, and he met up with a guy, and they had the same issue. These creatures were in the trees, they were small ones anyway, and mm-hmm. They could, you know, they seen them in the trees. And so, you know, there's several instances where the creatures have been in. Plus, we have a video. One of the videos we use in one of our movies shows the creature climbing the tree, and what you don't know until after you get done, there's another creature already up there. And, mm-hmm. and the creature starts shaking the trees, and it's pretty neat. But most of the time when we see these things and we're looking for these things, we're looking for footprints, we're looking for, you know, other kinds of evidence. But a lot of people maybe overlook the tree. you know, you look up and see if there's something in there. So it's just I was just thinking about that. What about you, Ken?
What?
What about you, Ken?
Well, we're thinking that we've seen some things up in trees, and the trees were also shredded up high on these pine trees, and we believe that they were removing sap from the pine trees for self-healing, because they say that pine tree sap is like a super healer. The Native Americans use it, and a friend of mine that's Native American was telling me that that the Native people didn't know how to do that, that they watched Bigfoot people do it, and that's how they knew what was going on, how to use that medication for their own healing. They watched animals, which and he referred to as Bigfoot.
Yeah, that's pretty neat.
It's super interesting.
Anthony from Virginia, when he was he used to come on the show there, he was an electrician, and he'd go out and he would find, I think I probably have more pictures from Anthony on tree formations, and some of the trees were actually broke off, stuck upside down in the ground. I don't know if you believe that. Stuck upside down in the ground. And they also, you know, you'd like to have a logging trail or a path, and they would keep continuously trying to block it with tree, with you know, blocking it with logs and trees and stuff. So, I mean, there's some really neat things out there when we're out there, but there's a lot of things that I think, you know, I tell people look for tree breaks. 90% of the time when people call me on the show, or not on the show, but, you know, to get on the show, and tell me about an incident, an encounter they've had, 90% of the time, they end up, you know, telling me, oh, yeah, we've seen it. And I tell them, I said, look, did you look around the area? Go back to the area if you can and look around. And take a look about, 6 to 8 feet up or more and see if there's any tree breaks. And I said, if you see a 1.5-inch, 2-inch tree limb twisted, you know one thing. A human couldn't do it. And a bear sure couldn't do it, so it had to have been something with a thumb. And I tell them, look around for tree formations or twig formations, or you know, little teepees. I mean, all kinds of little layers. You know, they build them branches into layers and stuff where they use them to to catch the animal deer and stuff, right? So, I mean, there's a lot of different things out there that are probably present, but you don't notice it. Have you guys noticed things like that?
Well, you know, Marco, when I put out my bait a couple of weeks ago, and we put out the sardine can just to see first if there was any kind of animal activity in the area. And we knew from the hypothesis of doing this, that one, it would show this animal activity, and possible the animals that were in the area will probably be bait for the Sasquatch. Well, when I went back to look at my bait, I found the sardine can, which, remind you, we only partially opened it. We only opened it about 1/4 inch just so the smell and aroma would get out. When we came back, the whole lid was pulled back as if someone like you or I or Rocky pull back a lid on a food can. So the only thing I can think of is something with opposable thumb could reach and pull this back. A bear sure as hell can't do it. You know, a raccoon can't do it. And the food was found at least 50 to 75 feet away from where I set the bait. So, you know, to me, a lot of these things we see, you know, as Sasquatch researchers or Bigfoot hunters, as they call us, it could be on the other thing. And then I remember when TJ came, and he and I was down in Uwari Forest, and I showed him a cedar tree, which a lot of people know scientifically and know historically that a cedar tree is one of the most hardest trees in the world. And I showed him where I had found a cedar tree that was at least 8 foot up. It was twisted. It was twisted. I mean, when I mean twisted, I'm not talking about, you know, sleet, hurricane, something come through and bend it over. No, this thing was twisted like you're taking a straw and twist it. And it was twisted right in a path that was beaten for at least a quarter of a mile. So, you know, I think a lot of times when we look at stuff, we don't look at it for what it's worth. But, you know, ideally, this is where these creatures are marking their territory, if you ask me.
Yeah.
It's the young ones. It's the babies, the young ones. The old ones can't get up in the trees. I've watched them jump in trees. They have torn my trees apart out here. And they're no more than 4 feet tall, and they can jump straight up about 8 feet like it ain't there. The young ones get in the top tree and tell the older ones what's around out there. They are like a little lookout at that age. Like bears can't get in there, but the cubs can. They get up and get the honey for them. They're too big. They can't get up for no more. But them little ones are like jumping jacks. I ain't kidding you. I've seen them. I was like, okay, they're in the trees now. And there's little ones, maybe 4 feet tall tops. And they play in the trees. They have a ball. I like it's like a playtime. They have tore our trees up so bad out here. I'm surprised they got any shade around us. Little heathens. I'm like, y'all quit. I'm out there yelling in the middle of the night. We stop turning, and you can hear it. You can see the branches. That the older ones have lifted my trailer up, and move. It's kind of sideways at the back. Was even worse now. These bigger ones can pick up. Was picking up the trailer, shaking it. And my grandson come running out of the room in the middle of the night. They're shaking. And I could hear monkeys. I said, that ain't monkeys. I went back there and you could hear them Sasquatch noises all outside the door. It was moving the trailer, scaring my grandson half to death. I mean, it's got a little calmer since I stopped going bad to him outside. It's got calmer. He's right. They'll scare
wow.
you guys because I'm right in the middle of Shepherdsville. I'm in right, you know, people around us. Just a little, you know, trees here and there, like a little forest. You know, nothing big like where I was. So, I mean, they got some, they're kind of nervy, you know, but it's at night. It's only at night.
Hey, Rocky, are
yes.
you there, buddy?
Yes,
you
sir,
know,
I am.
A couple of years ago, you and Swede came on and used to do little presentations on what to look for, how to track, what you'd take out on expedition, camping, and all that stuff, right? Remember that?
Yep.
Well, one of the most
yep.
memorable things that you guys did, I still can't get over it, you talked about how you could look at the shine of the by tracking, and the tracking, some of the things that you look for when you're tracking. And these are things that are absolutely very few people even know. And I was wondering if you might just kind of give us a little couple things overview. Let everybody know those things so they could also use those same tactics to, you know, when they're out there. Would you do that? Just
well,
a couple of.
The main thing is to take your time. You have to, most people look down at their feet and all that. Everybody tracks in too close. But if you'll keep a lookout 15, 20 feet ahead of you, sometimes when the anything with any weight mashes stuff down, it actually it leaves a shine.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to catch it at the right angle though. One thing I've noticed with a lot of the hoaxers, they'll be in a grassy area, and the footprint will be totally free of grass. No, they don't pull the grass out with them. They mash it down. They mash it into the ground. Just like the one picture that the Swede, I think we sent it in, I'm not sure, had the bird feather in it. That was the one that got Tom's attention because, you know, it was obvious that it was just mashed in. But that's two things. Taking your time, looking, watching the ground ahead of you and below you. Look for any kind of, you know, just broken twigs. Just anything that just doesn't seem totally correct. Everything has a, you know, has an explanation. The I think it was Anthony was talking about taking duct tape and anywhere along the where you're tracking. If you got a pretty hot track, grab, you know, all the limbs around you and see if you might pull up a hair or two. But you know, with me, the main thing is you got to take your time, and a lot of times people just see where something went without trying to think of, you know, why something would go there. That's, you know, you kind of try to get into a critter's head, and you know, about any creature that you come up with is going to look for the easiest route. And you just gotta look for you know, any kind of a soft spot, any kind of a depression. You gotta study, do a lot of studying. You gotta try to discern toes instead of just a round shape. If there's one footprint, there's almost got to be another one somewhere. I've noticed a lot of the people that have actually been busted trying to hoax other people. You know, they'll find a track, and you know, the terrain is the same coming and going, but there's only one track. And you know, unless Bigfoot just has one foot and he only uses it every now and then, you know, just you gotta try to think animal thoughts. I mean, it's no different than hunting a hog or hunting a bear or hunting a deer. For one thing, you got to go places where there's a good chance that they're going to be finding food.
There you go.
Just like just right down from where we always camped, there was a huge pawpaw patch. And we've been down there times, and a bear will just, you know, ride them down. They'll do damage to the trees. But we found places that were, you know, anywhere from about 4 foot to 10 foot, where everything was gone. And, you know, the higher up stuff was still there. It was you know, like something was coming along through there and getting what was convenient. It's just a matter of just taking your time and looking at what, and realizing what you're looking at. I mean, I've been out with people that, you know, found deer footprints, and well, you know, I would tell them, you know, deers usually don't have a foot the size of a 2-liter Coke jug. It's a hog track. You got to look for dew claws, that kind of stuff. But in the case of a Bigfoot, the tracks that me and Robert found, we thought it was kind of weird, the tracks that we found. But then, you know, after doing a lot of studying and noticing that the ankle is more forward than ours, the pressure points aren't the same as they are with folks. It's like they hit a lot, their foot hits flatter. And so, you know, it's not like the big, you know, the big heel mark and then the big toe mark. It's mm-hmm. all kind of, you know, evened out better. What we do, the best time is early in the morning. You get up, mm-hmm. you got some daylight, you look ahead of you, and you know anything that's been through there has left a trail.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'll if there's dew on the ground, then whatever it is, you got him.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had to track the little boys that was going around ringing everybody's doorbells in the old neighborhood. I tracked them to their house, and they couldn't figure that one out. How I knew that I was trying to keep them from getting shot, but it's one of those things. If you've been doing it for a long time, it's just kind of a second nature thing. But I've gone out with the guys that, you know, are in too big a hurry. They wanted to cover too much ground, cover as much ground as they can in a short period of time. And there's Swede trying to call in right now.
If I may add, Rocky, a lot of times, too, folks, that you got to realize when you find tracks, if, say, for instance, you find a track on the edge of the field, it could be a Sasquatch, it could not be, but the one that's the tracks that are more valuable, that people like myself, Rocky, TJ, when we go in areas that you know that the average ordinary mower is not going to go in. I mean, I'm talking about deep, way deep into the forest. You know, where you got what Tom Senior was talking about, the chiggers, the ticks, possible snakes, it could be bobcats, anything like that. When you find footprints in these areas, then you can almost put some validity into them. But the hoaxers are not going to go in these areas because they don't do what we do.
That's right. Well, you know, the areas that me and Robert haunt out there is, I think in 8 years, in 10 years, we've probably seen 8 people out there. And most of them were just terribly lost. You find a barbed wire fence. Well, it's not unusual to see all kinds of tracks running along a barbed wire fence. But that's when you have to pay a lot more attention, make sure that it's not boot prints. Out where we go, if you see a boot print, you might want to follow it because the guy's probably in trouble.
We got about 60 seconds before the end of the show here. I want to thank you all for coming on, and we can continue this probably next week. But thank you so much. Doyle, sorry I couldn't get you in there.
That's all right. I had a great story for you, though. I've been horse midwife in Virginia.
Well, we don't have time. They're going to shut the show off here in about a minute. What happens is it shuts off and it doesn't go out anywhere, and all we do is talk with each other. So what I want to do is thank everybody for being on tonight. Appreciate it, and thanks for your input. We'll see everybody next week. Take care. Keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week. Good night now.
Good night.
Who brought you?
Good night, Leo.
Good
night, Joel.
Good night,
you
guys.
Too, Rocky.
Good night.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they die. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door.